still my heart.
And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, normally joined, as always, by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. But today, Jason continues to be missing. I haven't heard from him in a few weeks now. And so today I'm joined by one of the other pastors at Shoreline Church, Corey Mayfield. How are you, man?
I'm good. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to. And we're also going to have a guest. Holly Zachary is here with us today, and she's an educator and a teacher and a mom and a wife and a great citizen of these United States and this great state of Tennessee. And so we're going to be talking about education today. But before we do that, last week was, in fact, the 4th of July, but not just the 4th of July. It was also my birthday, and I officially entered my mid-30s last week. And I think, and neither one of y'all said happy birthday yet, so I just think it's important to point that out.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So
35?
35. Okay. Officially old enough to run for president.
Okay.
Officially old enough to run for president, so I would appreciate your vote when that time comes. Looking forward to that. You know, I thought you had to be 35 to run for other offices, and this tells you how good I am. Then I looked it up, and I've been old enough to run for a lot of other offices except for the president of the United States.
I think so, you can be mayor at like 13 or something, right?
So looking forward to that one day. My wife is not looking forward to that one day of running for the president of the United States. But apparently you look around, I mean, just put your name in the hat. There's a lot of people running. So before we get into the topic of today, Corey, what did you do for the 4th? What did your family do?
The 4th for us was a parade. Holly and I walked in a parade together, and then I went to Holly's house, and we had a great – Holly and I talked about this. This is like the 5th year, I think, in a row that we've done the parade and done a cookout at their house. You were there last year, I think.
I was.
And this was the best one. I mean, it was like –
because I wasn't there.
No.
It would have – you know what? There was one thing missing, and that was Andrew and his family. Yeah. But it was fun, low-key, hanging out in her front yard and just eating hot dogs, chili dogs. It was good.
Yeah.
Did that, and then did some lake stuff, shot off some fireworks, watched a bunch of fireworks.
Yep.
I wore some cut-off denim shorts.
Come on.
Wore a flag shirt.
Yep.
And that was pretty much America for me.
That's good. Well, we went to the parade in Powell, not in Farragut, where y'all were at. And then in the one in Powell, we live in Carnes, but we drove over. Carnes does a – explain this to me if you're listening out there. I live in Carnes, love my community. But Carnes doesn't do a 4th of July parade. They do like a July 20-something parade. And so it's not around the 4th. And I don't – we still celebrate it like the 4th. And there's flags and all those things and politicians marching and walking, handing out stuff. But maybe their thought is, well, we'll just do it when no one else is having a parade and then everybody will come to our parade. Possibly that's it. My neighbor has 8 antique tractors, and when we get close to parade time, you just hear all of them start up and all his friends come over and they drive. So most of the parade is his tractors going through. And then we went to Smoke in the Water over in Kingston. And so this is a big thing they do apparently every year. They say it's the largest fireworks show in East Tennessee. I haven't looked that up to see if that's correct or not, but that's what they call it. And it was quite impressive. So we drove to Kingston that night, sat in some camping chairs and watched fireworks be shot off over the water. And then for some reason, as we left, no one thought it would be a good idea to have anyone directing traffic. So then it took about 45 minutes to get onto a road.
So the largest fireworks show in East Tennessee does not have anyone directing traffic.
No, I saw police officers in vehicles leave with their lights on, which is what I would have done had I had lights on my van, but I didn't. And so as we were trying to leave, we just sat there, and then I was getting angry because people were expecting to be let out, and it just wasn't being fairly done in my estimation. And it was 10:30 at night, and I was ready to get home. So we finally got home, but it was a great time. And then my wife had on Saturday, she surprised me with some people to come over to celebrate my birthday. So that was fun, and we spent a lot of time in the pool. I as well wore denim shorts and enjoyed that. My USA hat And
I saw a picture of the USA hat. Yeah. So I just want to go back to this birthday party. What is the Andrew Wood birthday cake look like?
Well, it's a we have a friend here that operates Lulu's Tea Room over in Powell, and she's a great lady. And
is her name Lulu?
She's called Lulu. Her name is Dina.
Okay.
And I'm not real sure. I haven't asked her why it's Lulu.
But so you call her Lulu.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. My kids do.
Okay.
I do not. And then, so she made a, what she called a Swiss cake. Growing up, my mom and my grandma would make me, we didn't call it a Swiss cake. We just called it my birthday cake every single year. And so, but it's amazing. It's chocolate cake, white icing, and just the best cake, period. And so Lulu made that, and then I had a lot of Sun Drop that day, which is a great drink that you need to look up. And then we just swam, and I had two hamburgers and two hot dogs that night. And by about 10 o'clock, I was sitting there going, I think I made some bad decisions, but it was a lot of fun. And so, so with all that, as summer starts to wind down, for us, school's about to start back. So my kids start back school July 31st. That is their day back in school. And it is crazy. And I've hit my mid 30s, but I turned into that person that's like, can you believe the summer's almost over? Can you believe we're halfway through July? Can you believe that Christmas is just 5 months away? Are we even prepared for those things? And so I've turned into my grandparents but the fact is school is about to start back. So a lot of people are trying to figure out what that looks like. Is my child going to a Christian school? Are we going to homeschool? Are we going to have them in public school? Are we going to do a combination of? So there's some schools out there that do both. It's homeschool and like a co-op. And so you can take your kids to school twice a week and then homeschool them the other 3 days. And then some of you listening are going, my kid is three. And we need to start thinking about this when they enter kindergarten, what that looks like. So today our hope is that after you get through listening to this, you will know exactly what direction your kid needs to go. That is not our hope. Our hope is that you will start having conversations to figure out what direction you need to go. So the name of the show is Between Sundays, because between the Sundays, how are Christians making decisions within our culture? What does that look like? Does that look like public school? Does that look like private school? Does that look like homeschool? Is that private school a Christian school or not? And those type things. So I think to get us started there, let's just put our chips on the table and say what our kids are doing. So my kids go to a small Christian school over in Powell called First Baptist Academy. That is where my kids go. Corey?
Yeah, so we are split all over the place. I have four kids. My oldest is Paul Thomas. He's going to Farragut Intermediate. Andrew goes to Farragut Primary. Samuel is an upcoming kindergartner, and he's going to be at Concord Christian School. Okay. And then Annie is in preschool, also at Concord.
Okay, so Holly, yeah. Get close to that mic.
Okay, sorry, yeah. So I am I'm a teacher at Concord Christian School. I'm going to be teaching eighth grade this year, and my son is going to be a ninth grader at Concord Christian. We have homeschooled in the past. I homeschooled him for second, third, and fourth grades, and I taught public school before he was born. So,
Okay, well, and I grew up where I grew up. We went to public school. I went to a K-12 public school in Cornersville, Tennessee.
One room.
might as well have been. And had 55 in my graduating class. It was still a very small community. There was no private school option. And so even if my parents would have sat down and said, hey, what does Christian school look like for us? We'd have had to drive an hour to find a Christian school where I grew up. And so everybody in Cornersville just went to Cornersville. And we didn't call it Cornersville High School, or we just called it Cornersville School because it was kindergarten through 12. And so from that standpoint, I never thought I would entertain anything else. But I also never thought I would leave my hometown. And so then we moved to Knoxville, and I'm working at the University of Tennessee, and I'm recruiting students in all these public schools and private schools. And then I would come home and look at Aaron and go, hey, we probably should start having a conversation about where our kids are going to go and what that looks like. And so
Where did you go to school, Corey? Were you a public school or private school?
I was public school as well. Okay. It's interesting. So I actually went to kindergarten in a Christian school, in a private school. And I think there were three of us, and I think my parents just kind of looked at it and said, we can't afford to send these kids to private school the whole time. That would be really expensive. And so I need to go back and ask them. I'm not sure why they made that decision early on. Like, hey, we want you to go to kindergarten there, and then go to public school. I'm not sure what that was, but, and then I'm public school, and then I don't know, public college, state college, what would you call it? University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I was public all the way through. My wife was public all the way through. But our kids have been in Christian school actually until this year. So we've decided this year to pull them out of Concord Christian School and put them in to Farragut for the older two.
Okay. Holly, did you go to public school growing
up? I
did.
I went to Farragut, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, University of Tennessee. So I was public school.
Well, I did not go to University of Tennessee. So
do you go to MTSU?
I went to Columbia State Community College for 2 years, and then Middle Tennessee State is where I got my bachelor's. And so, we've kind of covered everything. I mean, we have a public school background. We have private school. We have homeschooling in there. And so let's start with what type of conversation, why is it important to have a conversation? So if you're a couple at home or if you're a single parent at home, why is it important to have a conversation with someone instead of just going, well, I mean, they're just going to go here. This is where we're zoned. They're going here. Why do we think it's important for Christians to at least have the conversation of what's the best fit for our children?
So I think we can go to a couple of different places. You know, you guys talk a lot about that we're created in the image of God. You know, Genesis 1:28, the cultural mandate, the cultural mandate that God gives each of us just as humans is that we bring order to the chaos. And a lot of that's education. I mean it's kind of this, this right of all of us that, like, as humans, we need to be educated in bringing order to all of this chaos. If none of us had been to school, if none of us had learned anything and we're just walking around as toddlers, there is no order to the chaos. We don't understand why the sun has come up today and why it's shining. We don't understand trees and how they grow. We don't get rain or any of those kind of things. And so to the foundational level, it goes all the way back to that. And as parents, we take on that role for our kids. And so we become these primary educators of our children. So it's really important for us as parents to decide, okay, so what does that look like? As me, I have the responsibility for my children to choose how am I going to educate them and bring order to this chaos. So what's the right choice for that for my family?
Yeah, and I think too, we're about to go to break, but as we come back, some folks are going to listen and go, yeah, okay, private school is an option, homeschool is an option, but some folks listening are going, look, I don't have the funds to send my kid to private school. I don't have the time to homeschool. I need that public school option. And so the important thing is, regardless of what option you choose, be involved. Be involved in the school. Be involved with your teachers, with the homework assignments and all of those things. So when we come back, we'll talk more about that process and that conversation, some of the questions we asked ourselves, some of the questions we asked with our spouses, with the teachers of these schools, and we'll talk more when we come back. So I think it's clear, and I don't even think you can argue the greatest movie of all time is Men in Black.
Two?
One. Three. There's a new one coming out, apparently. They thought we needed that. So Will Smith, though, by far, one of my favorite actors and rappers.
Have you seen Aladdin?
I have not seen Aladdin. Well, here's the thing. My wife, and I'm not throwing her on the bus, she would say this to you as well.
Okay. I'll ask her on Sunday.
We went to – while we were dating, we'd go to movies every weekend. And back – we went and saw How to Train Your Dragon with the kids a few months back. And it was Aaron's first experience at Cinnabar at Westtown, which is a recliner. They bring you food, like it's a restaurant, while you're watching the movie. And as we were leaving, Aaron said, I will not go to another movie theater after that experience. This is where we will go watch movies. I said, okay, I get that. So when Aladdin came out, I'm looking to get tickets. it wasn't on there on Fandango. You couldn't get tickets to see Aladdin at Cinnabar. I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's just some kind of glitch. So I actually called the movie theater. I don't remember the last time I called a movie theater. I called them, and I was like, hey, I want to get tickets to Aladdin. They're like, yeah, we're not getting it. I was like, you're not, it's one of the biggest Disney movies, and you're not getting it? Nope, we're not going to have it. I said, okay, well, I don't guess we're going to see Aladdin. And so I'm hoping they get Lion King, because I'm going to see Lion King, even if I have to go by myself to a theater that don't bring you food. We're going to go see Lion King, so surely they'll have Lion King.
I have
King.
Good news for you.
They have Lion King?
At the Pinnacle,
okay,
they have the reclining seats.
Do they bring you food?
They're not going to bring you
That's
food.
That's the thing.
So she liked the food,
it's
not
the food,
the
whole thing, okay, with the kids, to just have the food brought to us. We can sit back and watch the movie. It was all of that is the experience that she wants. I'll go sit in the dungiest of theaters because I love the experience. Give me a bag of popcorn. I'll sit anywhere and watch a movie. Not Aaron. So hopefully we'll see Lion King soon. We'll watch Aladdin at some point. The kids will watch it. But Will Smith is a treasure to this planet, and y'all should know that. Him and DJ Jazzy Jeff changed the history of hip-hop and rap.
Parents just don't understand.
They don't. They just don't understand. And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, one of the greatest series ever. And so all of those things lead us into school. And why
Absolutely.
Are we? Why do we send our kids to the school that we send them to? And some of you are going, look, we don't even have a choice. We're zoned for this area.
Right.
That's where they're going to go. And so for us as a family, when Gavin was reaching school age, we started having that conversation. And like I said, I was working at University of Tennessee recruiting students. I was inside all of the schools. And I just remember multiple times coming home and telling my wife, I think we're going to lean toward a Christian school. And my wife would say, absolutely not. We both went to public school. Our kids are going to go to public school. That's what's going to happen. I was like, I just really feel like we need to look at some other options. Absolutely not. We're not going to do that. And so I said, okay, well, I still feel like we're going to look at other options. And so we went back and forth trying to figure out what that was going to look like. We toured a couple private schools, but still Aaron was adamant, look, they're going to go to public school. And so we were going back and forth. We went to kindergarten roundup at the school we're zoned for. Aaron started crying when she walked in the door. And I thought, hey, this may be a win for me. This may be pointing to my decision winning here. And then,
and that really is what marriage is all
that
about.
That is what marriage is all about, is winning. And so, so we walk in and they're talking to us and they're like, look, there's going to be 10 kindergarten classes with about 30 kids in each class. And that was what did it for Aaron. I went to a K-12 public, very small
right.
setting. Aaron is from a small town, very similar situation. And so that number kind of blew us away of like, wow, that's a lot. But if you grew up here, that's not a lot. That's just another school here in the area. And so, that was when Aaron started to go, okay, maybe we need to have a conversation. And so what we did was we not only had a conversation with each other, with even our parents, but with friends that had kids in different schools. And then we went and met with, believe it or not, we went and met with administrations at different schools to have conversations about where our kids going to be and what that looks like and what type of educational program did they have. And look, I get it. You're going, well, he's going in kindergarten. What's it matter what type of educational program he has? But you do want to know, like, what's the mission here? What's going to be the engagement? How quickly will they be learning how to read? What are they going to be learning in kindergarten versus what are they going to be learning in first grade, second grade, and those type things? And so from all those conversations for us as a family, it pointed us to the Christian school that we're a part of now. But every single year we reassess.
Yes.
And go, okay, now what? What's that for us? So what's that been like for you, Corey, as your family walked through that? Now you have 3 kids in school, 1 in preschool, but 3 kids in school. What's that process been like every single year?
For us, I would say both of us were probably a little more in your camp than Aaron's camp kind of early on.
Mm-hmm.
So we were good with public school if that was the best option, but also pretty open to Christian school, especially early on in elementary. So one of the kind of, I would say, kind of convictional things that we have is we really do want our kids to come to know Christ maybe before they step into public school. And so that was a big kind of driver for us, kind of the Proverbs 1:8 that that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, and that foolishness is the other side of that. And so really this kind of foundational thing that, like, what God says and the fear of Him and what His Word says really is the foundation of everything else we're going to learn. And so if a teacher is teaching you in a Christian school, probably not in a homeschool or in a public school, something that is against what God has said in His Word, well, then we can reject that. That's the path to foolishness, and we're going to pursue the path to wisdom. So, that has been kind of foundational for us. We also, this Thursday, actually, so in just tomorrow, what's today, Wednesday? Yeah. So tomorrow I'm taking Samuel away. We've done kindergarten trips with each of our boys so far, and we'll do that with Annie. Where we just take them away and say, this is what you're starting. This is the process. This is a 13-year process and probably longer than that. This is probably a 20-year process you're starting of going to school and education. You're going to get to pick friends. You're going to hear things that you agree with and hear things that you don't agree with. You're going to be able to make friends that are going to last forever, and those friends are going to influence you. They're going to influence you so that you can walk closer to the Lord, or they're going to influence you in the wrong way. And so I take them away before kindergarten. I'm taking Samuel just tomorrow to do that, just to say, you know, it matters the choices that you make. And the choices you make at 12, 13, 14, and even at 7, 8, and 9 do matter. So we're doing that. So really kind of putting that foundation out there. And I would say for us, the thing that would dramatically change our choice of what school our kids go to is if we felt like our authority in our kids' lives was being challenged. So I'm okay with a teacher. We actually kind of had this a couple times even at the private school that we were at, where some things were being taught. And I remember having a couple conversations with Holly about, yeah, this is probably not historically accurate, maybe. And so just teaching my kids, sure, like, I don't know, let's look at this. Maybe this is another view on that. So I'm okay with that. You know, I think, and in Farragut, I don't know that we've seen this a lot, but definitely in some other states and some other school systems where really things are being taught that are really challenging the authority of parents and of your family, and kind of calling your parents into question, that would be a line for us that we'd say, yeah, well, that's too far. We're pulling them out of this.
And so, Holly, when you, with your son, you homeschooled first, is that correct?
No. We were at Concord Christian for kindergarten and first grade, and then we homeschooled second, third, and fourth.
Okay, what was that conversation like? Okay, so he starts and he goes to CCS, and then you and Jason sit down and go, homeschool's an option. What was that conversation?
Yeah, so for us, Tyson's our one and only. Mm-hmm. And so every decision feels monumental to me. I feel like I'm going to make or break this kid, you know, and I don't have other kids to
And then with us,
we have
plenty of chances. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
So if you break one, you got another chance.
That's right.
Yeah, I got you.
So I do that to myself. And so there you go to the fear, like, you know, I have to really guard my mind against that.
Hold that thought. When we come back, we're going to talk about the decision to go from CCS or even not just the Christian school, but the decision to go, hey, I think homeschool is an option for us right now. We'll talk about that when we come back. We are family, and it takes a village, and all of those things that people say, those cliches. But as we finish the last segment, Holly, you were talking about, you started your son, your one and only begotten son. You started him in private school for a couple years, and then you and Jason thought, well, we can probably do it better, so we're just going to homeschool. I'm kidding. That wasn't your thought process.
Right.
But what was that conversation like with you and Jason to say, hey, homeschooling, maybe that's an option now.
So for us, we loved Concord Christian School. We made that decision initially. It was not an easy decision for us. It was one that we really bathed in prayer. And for Tyson needed to be challenged. God gifted him in a way that he didn't gift Jason and me. Tyson's super smart. And so he was doing a lot of things before he started kindergarten that I knew as a teacher at a public school, I knew he was going to need some individual attention and to be pushed a little. CCS did a great job with that. And really the reason we ended up there, Farragut's an amazing school.
Sure.
We really, Knox County schools are fantastic. So it wasn't like, I don't think Farragut can meet
right.
his needs. It was more that I really wanted him to be in a smaller classroom mm-hmm. where a teacher could see he's being lazy here. I'm going to push him. So kindergarten and first grade were wonderful. When he was in first grade, a friend shared with me a book called A Thomas Jefferson Education. Mm-hmm. And I read this book and I was like, man, this is amazing. And it was, it was basically the idea that, Thomas Jefferson was pretty much self-educated and, mm-hmm. and a lot of our founding fathers, go back in the day and a lot of them
right.
were schooled at home. And so it just kind of opened my mind to a way of thinking that, I hadn't really considered before. And for Tyson, I started praying about that. And then I shared some of those things with Jason. He was like, no,
yeah.
Really, it was a stretch for us not to send him. When we chose Concord Christian School, that was a stretch. My grandfather went to Farragut. My mom went to
right.
Farragut. I went to, so like to not do that was a weird thing. And then to homeschool for us was even like taking another step that we had never even considered.
Mm-hmm.
So we started praying about it. Jason was very much resistant to it at first. And then the more we prayed, the more God kind of started moving in his spirit that maybe we need to consider this. And so God confirmed that in a couple of very specific ways. And then he went to kind of an information meeting. We ended up doing a co-op called Classical Conversations. Mm-hmm. And when he heard what they had to say, he also recognized that for the way Tyson learned and the specific things that God had gifted him with, that this was, this was something that we needed to pursue.
Yeah.
So I told our principal at CCS when we made the decision to homeschool, I said, I need for you to know that I am not leaving. I am not like running away from CCS.
Right.
I am being pulled away. I really felt like God was pulling my heart. Now, fast forward 3 years, we did second, third, and fourth grades and mm-hmm. homeschool. All the things that I anticipated that curriculum would do for Tyson, I saw the fruit in that. But it also was a time that God did something. He kind of grew my understanding of education. All of a sudden, I was seeing things in a way that I never had. I had a master's degree from UT in education, but now I was seeing a new way to teach and a new way to learn that I had never considered before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. So then an opportunity came up for me to teach at CCS after we made the decision in fifth grade for Tyson to go back to CCS, for me to teach. And so some of those things I had learned, I was able to implement in a classroom full
right.
of kids. So I saw the fruit of that. And so there you go with another decision to leave what we knew God mm-hmm. had called us to and to go back to CCS. And it was, again, a pulling back. And so I do encourage people. Somebody said to me before we made the decision to send Tyson to CCS in kindergarten, she said, this is not a final decision. You have, because I was stressing out about it so much. And she looked me in the eyes and was like, you can change your mind.
Yeah.
And really, I feel like the Lord has just kind of been very clear in his leading in those things. So, I really encourage families to just, pay attention to your child. Look at how did God, design them and gift them? What is their bent? Where
yeah.
are they going to thrive in a big school? Are they going to thrive in a smaller classroom? Look at your child and really ask the Lord to show you. What do you have for this child this year? It could change
yeah.
year to year.
Yeah, I think it's important that you assess that every year. And also, like where I grew up, there wasn't even a opportunity to assess because it was like, look, they're
right.
going to corner
school.
That's where they're going. That's where my kids are going.
Yes.
There is no assessing
mm-hmm.
Because you either don't have the means to send them anywhere else, you don't have the time to homeschool, and look, Cornersville's the school. Like, this is it. This is the only school here. Like, that's where they're going to go. And so, I do think it's important that if you're in that camp and in that boat, that's okay.
Absolutely.
But what that meant for me was I had brothers that were older than me in the same school. I had some of the same teachers they had. My fourth grade teacher was the same teacher my dad had. Like, my parents were at the school. They were at my ball games. So if you're a parent listening to this and you're going, look, does that make me less than if I say public schools? No, of course not. But what I would say, regardless of what option you choose, be in very much involved. The teacher needs to know who you are, not because you're that parent and all you do is email and call and text and get upset, but because you care deeply about the raising of your child, and you want to know what they're learning. You want to know what they're being taught.
I think if nothing else from this podcast, for families to know that different families will make different decisions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for us, if we sent our kids to private school the whole way through 12th grade with four children, it's $500,000.
Yeah.
$500,000 for their education. We just can't afford that.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
there's just no way we can afford that. So it's a different decision than your parents made mm-hmm. in Middle Tennessee, where you didn't really have private school options. For us, that priced us out.
Yep.
You know, at this point, we don't have the time to do homeschool. And so that's not an option for us. So it kind of pushes us in this option where we have a couple kids going to private school, or, you know, one kid going to private school, a couple kids going to public school for various reasons. But there's not one decision that's like, yeah, every kid needs to be homeschooled. Every kid needs to be private school. Every kid needs to be in public school.
Right.
I mean, we all have friends who think it's a travesty that Christian parents would pull their Christian kids mm-hmm. out of school, out of the public school. Because what if every Christian kid yep. parent did that? And what would it leave? And what if every Christian teacher left the public school system and taught just in private schools? And then we'd have no light of Christ shining in the public school. So there's this kind of shame and guilt
on all sides,
on mm-hmm. all yeah. sides. Right. And so I think the thing that I would just love for everyone to hear is you need to make a decision based on your family. You know, Holly referenced this earlier. Don't make that decision based out of fear. Right. So we don't want to put our kids into a private school because we want to put them in some sort of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to homeschool them because we want to keep them away from
right.
the big, bad world.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't want to do that based out of fear. We want to do it based out of just faithfulness. We're going to walk in faithfulness. We believe this is the best decision for our child.
Mm-hmm.
We believe this is the best decision for our family. And the reality is there are pros and cons to every
yeah.
single system.
Yeah.
So homeschool is great in that you get 100% mm-hmm. control of the curriculum.
Yep.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to tailor the education to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this extrovert performer kid. You're just, you know, educating him in that way. Then you've got a kind of an introvert reader over here. You're educating him in a different way. I mean, all the learning styles, you can really tailor that as a homeschool parent. You know, you can experience, you can do tons of these experiences
yep.
that help partner with what they're learning in, you know, school. So there's this huge advantages to homeschool. You also have to watch out because your family typically looks a lot like you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're middle class, and you're homeschooling, everyone in your school's middle class.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't adopted, everyone in your class is white like you or black like you or, mm-hmm. or whatever. I mean, they all look like you and most of them believe like you. And that's not a good thing. Like, it's good for our kids to get to experience people that are in different socioeconomic
yep.
places, people of color. I mean, all of those, even, I mean, I think one of the great things that's that kind of shaped when we were in school is this, how they now include those with special needs in the school
mm-hmm.
system. I mean, honestly, when I was little, those students, we called them nicknames that were not nice.
Right.
And that's no longer true. That's a great thing for our
yeah.
kids to get to experience in the public school system.
For sure. And we'll talk more about some of those pros and cons when we come back. But ultimately, pray through this, think through this, talk to families in your circles. Hey, what are y'all doing? What kind of questions did y'all ask? And then we'll talk more when we come back. Before we get back into the conversation, Corey, do you or do you not? Do you have a Letterman jacket from your high school days?
I do.
You still wear it? You go back to football games at homecoming,
obviously,
and you wear your Letterman jacket.
Obviously, my wife wears it with my class ring.
Obviously, she does. Holly, do you wear Jason's Letterman jacket from back in the day?
No, actually, Jason doesn't have a Letterman jacket from back in the day.
Do you have one?
I do.
Do you wear it, or does Aaron wear it?
No, absolutely not. But I love that this past year, Cornersville, where I grew up, went to the state football championship. And so I'm at the game watching the state championship, and I'm looking around, and there was a lot of Letterman jackets from years gone by.
Like vintage.
Yeah. And some of them were great. Like the ones we had when I was in high school weren't great because the style just wasn't amazing in the early 2000s. But man, some of those are quite amazing. That I would probably pay good money for nowadays.
A cardigan. But I mean, you do like a cardigan.
I do like a cardigan. So do you, Corey.
That's excellent.
So as we finish up, pray through it, folks. You know, I've even thought, like, in an ideal world for me and my family, we would love to homeschool. But right now we have an 8-year-old and a 1-year-old. So if I try to homeschool my 8-year-old and my 6-year-old that are in school, and then the 3-year-old and the 1-year-old, all I can think about is what in the world I'm going to do with them while we're trying our best to have school at home with the older two. And so for some of us, it may be, look, we want to get to homeschool, but right now that can't happen because of the age range of our kids.
Right.
We also were looking at some schools, and I really like the classical education model with a ton of reading, catechisms, memorization. To me, from everything that I've done and how I've been able to learn, reading is very important, and I want that hammered into my children at an early age. And so that was a huge deciding factor on where our kids were going to school. Some of you may be, hey, sports are great, and we want our kids. We can already see they're more athletic than all the neighborhood kids, and there's a possibility there. We don't have a lot of funds, and there may be a possibility there. And so you want to look at an option for them from that. There's so many great options. And one thing I would say for a while, we kind of do the stereotypical homeschool thing, and well, they're awkward or whatever. Look, in 2019, there are so many ways for kids to be social. I don't think that's an issue
Absolutely
at all.
Not.
And so if you want to go that direction, don't worry that unless you just keep them away from everything, then
right.
Certainly they will be. But there's so many things to be involved in, even in sports. You can be homeschooled and still play sports at certain places. And
right.
So there's a lot of things to do. Ultimately, I think what all this comes down to is be involved in your kid's life.
Absolutely.
Right.
And if you're listening to this and going, I don't even have kids, well, start talking about it now. One day you may, and don't let it sneak up on you. Don't let it go, oh, they're starting kindergarten in August, and we haven't even talked about what direction we want to go with that. Those are conversations that should be had, and start thinking about it. And don't feel like, well, we can't reassess now. No, you can reassess each year. And you may have a kid in a Christian school. You may have a kid homeschool. You may have a kid in public school. Just figure out what – that's an amazing thing. Again, in 2019, we have those options available to us.
Right. And I would want to encourage anyone listening to make sure that you're looking at – that you're going to have friends that are doing things that are different than you. You're going to have friends who start out the same as you, and then they change – we are called as a church to encourage one another and build each other up. We're not called to be critics. There's no scripture that says to you, thou shalt send your child to whatever
right.
choice
That's
of
right.
school. It is our job. God says that the world will know we are Christians by the way we love one another. And so that's our call. So wherever you are, be salt and light. If you're in a public school, if you're in a home school, if you're in a private school, if you're in a Christian school, guess what? Not every kid in that school knows Jesus.
Yep.
So wherever you are, be salt and light.
This is a decision that's made, hopefully, by parents out of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So you pray about it. You really seek. I love what Andrew said. Talk to some other parents who have done homeschool, have done private school. Go meet with some principals. Do all that kind of stuff. But this is not the law.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes we can treat it as the law, like, oh, you're not sending your kid there? Wow. No, this is a decision that every parent needs to make based on the wisdom that the Lord has given them.
Yeah, right. and that's the beauty of it all. Mm-hmm. And just like you were saying, it's not final. If you make that decision and 6 months into it, you're like, this was a terrible decision. Right. Hey, you can change your mind.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. Thanks for joining us, Corey, Holly. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.